all-important beverage holder there. Good morning. Good to see you. What's a question you have about how something works? I wish I knew why my computer sometimes connects with my printer and sometimes doesn't. It might be good to know why my quiche turns out mushy sometimes and extra rubbery others. And what exactly is a cobweb? Anybody ever thought about that? What is a cobweb? Sometimes I wonder why people I know do the things they do. I suppose I could ask. What about questions for God? You have any? I do. I suspect that we all do. Today, we're going to look in the Bible at a dialogue that someone in very difficult circumstances initiated with God. God is sovereign, in charge, with plans that go beyond our imaginations, yes, but he's also relational. He reveals his character to us so that we know we have a powerful God to trust, even when we don't understand all his ways. And as we look at the Bible today, we'll see that reminding ourselves of who God is helps us in times of wondering to keep moving forward in faith. Reminding ourselves of God's character helps us in times of wondering to keep moving forward in faith. Do you want me to move this outside? Would that help? Is that okay the way it is? And with that thought in mind, which is on the screen, let's pray. Jesus, you hear our questions and our complaints and our praise. And as Sherry prayed earlier, you know what each of us brings today. You know what each of us needs. And I know you're here, Lord, watching, listening, ready to help and teach us. Help us to see you today. And in your name, I pray, amen. Today, we're going to look at a part of the Bible called Habakkuk. You might need to use the table of contents in your Bible. Habakkuk. Say it out loud, it's fun. Habakkuk. After the longer prophecy books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on, there are some shorter ones. And if your Bible has a divider between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can flip back a little. Flip back to Habakkuk. Told you it was fun. Are you there yet? I will be reading today from the translation called the New International Version because it's the one in the Bibles under the chairs. Now, we don't know much about the person, the prophet Habakkuk, but we'll see as we read that Habakkuk knows God and that he is not hesitant to ask him questions. These pages record a dialogue between them. First Habakkuk talks, then God, then Habakkuk, then God, then Habakkuk. They split the airtime pretty evenly. Here are some things to keep in the back of your mind as we talk about Habakkuk and these chapters in the Bible that have his name. First, holy God graciously, generously interacts with us. This morning we have been singing to Jesus and about Jesus. Jesus is God. The Old Testament, where we find Habakkuk, points to Jesus, and he was there for all the events in it. But he just wasn't in human form. Now we have easy access to the forgiveness of God because he also became human and died to take the penalty for our sin. But even before Jesus lived on earth, God provided people with access to himself. God communicated his priorities, and he arranged a system where people could ask God for forgiveness when they diverted from his best plans, when they sinned. In the Old Testament, like now, God was watching and listening and ready to be present. God is personal and relational, and we can talk to him. Even so, as human beings, we can't understand all of God's ways of running the universe. That's the second thing to keep in mind today. The three chapters of Habakkuk assume and illustrate God's sovereignty. He has the right to rule and the power and a plan. Some of it doesn't feel comfortable to us. God's sovereignty and power are emphasized in the dialogue with Habakkuk, but Habakkuk also knew that God is merciful. If he hadn't known that, he might not have dared to have the conversation. Now, look down at your text. The publishers of most Bibles add some headings for us, but we don't need the help of the little italicized words that say Habakkuk's complaint to figure out that he's complaining. Just look at it, chapter 1, verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk's complaint here comes from his observation that people all around him are behaving badly. Habakkuk was living in the 600s BC, but I'm guessing we can all relate to that. You ever frustrated by people's unkindness, unfairness, arguing? Well, Habakkuk was part of a group of people called Israel, a group of people God had set apart to live by his priorities. But looking at Habakkuk's complaint in these three verses, it seems that people were not, in fact, living by God's priorities. Plus, we know historically that Israel's land and people had been subject to the rule of corrupt outsiders for a while. This was the result of many years of Israel's kings and religious leaders compromising God's ways or flouting them altogether. Wrongdoing, sin, has consequences. Others' choices from the past and the present affect us, and our own bad attitudes and patterns do too. Look back at those verses. Habakkuk has been asking for help. See the how long? He's been witnessing violence or experiencing it. There's injustice, conflict, strife. The good system of law that God had designed for the people who lived before Christ wasn't able to work. Israel's leaders and the oppressive outsiders were making it impossible. People couldn't find justice because, as it says in verse 4, the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Habakkuk sees this corruption around him and asks why God isn't doing anything about it. Well, God answers Habakkuk. Look at the beginning of God's reply, verses 5 and 6. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. That sounds pretty good. Almighty God has a plan. Habakkuk leans forward a little. Here's God's plan. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. And it goes on and talks about their horses and their relentlessness. And then skip down to verse 10. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose strength is their God, whose own strength is their God. My, that was hard for Habakkuk to hear. It's hard for us to hear. God's answer to Habakkuk's complaint about the corruption in his society and God's seeming passivity? More destruction is coming. That answer was hard to swallow. Perhaps it was confusing to Habakkuk. So he asks again. Look at verses 12 through 17. He's more explicit there about why he's frustrated with what's going on. Specifically, Habakkuk knows that God cares about justice and righteousness. Read verses 12 and 13. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we shall not die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? It's like Habakkuk is saying, okay, I know you get to be God and decide how things go, but I know you and I know what you care about, and this is just plain hard to get. When we're in question-asking mode, it helps us to know the person we're talking to. We converse better if we know where we stand and whether or not our relationship is an ongoing, permanent one. In his complaint, we see that Habakkuk knows God. He cites God's eternality, his sovereignty or right to rule, God's faithfulness, his holiness. Habakkuk knows these things about God. Though God is certainly other from us, he relates to us. As the Bible says, we are made in God's image, and he relates to us interpersonally. See the terms Habakkuk uses in his complaints? I've underlined them on the screen. In both complaints, he addresses God as Lord, using the personal name for God that God shared with the people of Israel. It's translated elsewhere as Yahweh. And in this complaint, Habakkuk also uses words that show his connection and reliance on God. He says, "My God, my Holy One, my rock." He says, "You are." These verses are not Habakkuk's PowerPoint biographical sketch of a distant ruler. They aren't the bullet points in a job description for the position of deity. Habakkuk is talking to God. In the rest of chapter 1, Habakkuk anticipates the plunder and violence that will come with the Babylonians and Habakkuk's dismay over this plan of God's. And then Habakkuk says that he would like additional information. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to say what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. This mode of expecting answers when we have questions is interesting. Is it overly bold to speak to God that way? Even if it was, Habakkuk knew, and we know, that God, holy and sovereign, is patient. So we can ask and wait and listen and sometimes ask again. We know that we don't always get to see or hear the answers to our specific questions. Sometimes the waiting will be until after this life. And sometimes we hear answers we don't like, and sometimes the answers we get do make us glad. We can see how all the plan goes together. But in our expectant waiting and wondering, we can also humbly look out to learn more about God. Now, try something with your eyes. Ready? Look straight at me for a second. Okay. Now, raise your eyebrows a little. Not way up high like you're skeptical, although some of you might be. Just a little. How does it feel? A little more open? When you're talking with someone and you raise your eyebrows just a little, it communicates expectancy. It's that looking out to learn, to find out, to hear more. Even when I'm tired and sad and can't really lift my head, I can raise my eyebrows. Maybe think about this. Maybe think about asking God to help you open the eyes of your heart to him. See what he will show you about himself that can keep you moving forward in faith. So in chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk says he'll wait for God to answer again. And God responds to Habakkuk. I wish we had an hour to talk about Habakkuk. You may not feel the same, but since we don't, I'll summarize. Chapter 2, God assures Habakkuk that he has correctly understood that God cannot tolerate sin. While he will allow the Babylonians to take harsh steps to clean house in Israel, the grievous ways of the Babylonians will also be punished. If you read chapter 2 later today, you'll see that God promises to turn the Babylonian arrogance and the ruthlessness against them. They will find out that they aren't as great as the creator of the universe. Eventually, as God says in verse 14, the earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And the Bible tells us in many places, Old Testament and New, that sometime in our future, God will come and do away with sin and suffering. All will acknowledge God as God, and Jesus Christ will reign, and things will be done his way. Amen? Sometimes God reminds us of his glory and power, and we sit in silence before him. We stop talking, and we just sit. And then we pray in perspective. Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3 follows God's pronouncement. It shows that God has revealed himself to Habakkuk through God's history with his people, as well as through the dialogue between the two of them. Reminding ourselves of who God is and what he does can help us trust him. Reminding ourselves of who God is and what he does can help us trust him. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Here, Habakkuk acknowledges God's work in the world and the awe and the reverence that inspires. He asks God to remember the merciful aspect of God's own character, even in the destructive judgment that he knows must happen. Then in the rest of the chapter, Habakkuk praises God's power and sovereignty in the things he's already done. And it's a neat study, by the way, to look back through the Old Testament, particularly Exodus and Joshua, draw the connections between God's actions there and Habakkuk's praise in parts of chapter 3 we won't have time to read today. The prayer ends with humility and confidence, submitting to God's agenda and declaring trust in God, even though times are and will be hard. Look at chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So how do we talk to God? Habakkuk was living in the face of injustice and the impoverishment that would come with invasion and war. Yet his review of God's character and actions and his ongoing dialogue with God led him to those declarations of trust and confidence. As the verses indicate, Habakkuk's circumstances would continue to be dismal. But Habakkuk was going to not get stuck there. He was going to be able to move forward, even in difficulty, even on the high rocks. So how do we ask our questions of God? For me, remembering the sovereignty of the one I'm addressing is important when I'm perplexed or hurt, or any time. I need to approach God on his terms. Holy God, his sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection enable me to be present with him, and the Holy Spirit allows connection. It's amazing. And I want to be an active lookout, pursuing knowledge of him that comes from him and really listening for his answers, whatever they might be. I can't just make my rant and then plop down on the couch with my arms crossed and say, "What do you have to say to that, huh?" I can't turn aside and throw up my arms when I hear an answer that I don't like or don't want. There's this, and there's this. Raise your eyebrows. It's hard to move forward in my relationship with God or my life in this world if I'm waiting until God will do or say what I want him to before I move. We know from other parts of the Bible and from our own experience with God that God is patient and merciful as well as sovereign. He didn't crush Habakkuk for his bold approach. It is grace, a gift, that he listens to our questions and reaches out to us. Didn't God keep pursuing Adam and Eve? Didn't he respond to Jacob and continue to work through his life? King David? Mary too wondered, how can this be? And those disciples of Jesus? How many questions did they have? Because of his love and mercy, we can connect with God to ask him what he is up to. As you think back about our whirlwind tour of Habakkuk, you might want to talk to God yourself. Maybe you're thinking about one of these things. First, are you ready to approach God? Have you asked him for the forgiveness of sin that comes through Jesus Christ? If you have, the Bible tells you that you can approach holy God as someone who is dearly loved by the creator of the universe. If you haven't yet asked for forgiveness, you can do that now. Here's another one. Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2 list a number of wrong attitudes and actions of the people around Habakkuk. We can all slip into compromises or wanting to do things our own way. Might God be bringing something to mind that you need to confess and repent of? Make a new start with his help. Third, what character traits of God are you rejoicing in or relying on today? For some, this is an intense season of asking questions. of waiting for answers and sometimes not liking the answers. Would you ask the Lord to remind you of his vast faithfulness and help you trust and ask him to help you trust him? How is God revealing his character to you? Maybe this is what you're thinking about. Are there next steps forward in faith that God has for you? Maybe God is drawing you to get to know him in a more intentional way. You might be prompted to pursue him through his word or by making a move of some sort that the Holy Spirit has been putting on your mind or heart. Maybe you just need to get out of arms crossed mode. Is there a way for you to move forward? As the musicians come up front, I'll give you a minute to start talking to God. Let's pray. Lord, what is important today? What is important to each of us today? Thanks for hearing us, Lord. Keep our conversation with you going. Amen. The very last line of Habakkuk chapter 3 says, "For the director of music on my stringed instruments." Habakkuk reminded himself of God's character with song. He praised and trusted God as he waited and wondered. And we can too.